It's Wednesday. You know that means it's time to talk our state's history with our partners at the Michigan History Center. With two peninsulas and 83 counties, Michigan's a big state, and we want to keep getting a better sense of Michigan's varying geographic and historic differences as we break down our state county by county. So we spun our Michigan county wheel this week with Michigan's 83 counties on it, and the winner is Ontonagon County. So here with the lowdown on Ontonagon County is State Archivist with the Michigan History Center, Mark Harvey. Hey, Mark, before we start talking history, I am going to bet there are a few folks out there who are kind of fuzzy as to just where Ontonagon County is. So where do we find it and what are some of its geographic features?
Okay, so let's find it first. Hold your left hand up with palm facing you is Upper Peninsula, right at that sort of that last joint of your thumb is where you would find Ontonagon County.
Okay.
So northwest Upper Peninsula. It's about 3,700 square miles. And what's fun is that 2,400 of that 3,700 square miles is water. So a lot of Lake Superior is covered in this county.
Okay. And it is home to Porcupine Mountain Wilderness State Park. I think people don't typically think mountains when they think Michigan. So what's the history of that park? And are these really mountains?
They are mountains, and that part of the county was home to some early copper mines. Everyone thinks of the Keweenaw Peninsula as the copper mine epicenter, which it was, but there was copper mining down in Ontonagon County as well, notably the Nonsuch Mine. But Porcupine Mountain State Park was established in 1945. It is our largest state park. It's comprised of about 60,000 acres of land, 35,000 of which is old growth forest. And it's mostly, we always think, or I always think, up north is old growth. You think just pine, but this is maple and hemlock. So it's a diverse forest type. The mountains, the highest peak is, I always feel like people argue over these numbers, but
what's commonly
consistently
accepted?
I found 1,958 feet, which, you know, my in-laws live in the Blue Mountains, and that's higher than some of the mountains around there. So yes, bona fide mountain.
And as you describe, you know, the varied trees that are in that state park, I can only imagine that fall color season is just gorgeous.
You couldn't miss a postcard of Lake of the Clouds, which is the quintessential Porcupine Mountain view, is that view over Lake of the Clouds. And also the North Country Trail runs right through that park. The North Country Trail is the horizontal version of the Appalachian Trail, which runs from New York to North Dakota and just happens to run right through Michigan's Upper Peninsula.
Beautiful, beautiful. What First Nations are in that area of the state when you look back at the early, early history?
The Menominee, the Nakwet, and the Mishinamaki were there early, but also predominantly Ojibwa or Chippewa were there and are there.
All right. So when did European settlers start making their presence known? And then walk us through how Ontonagon County started to form into the current structure we know today.
So it followed that copper exploration. So the 1840s, as those minerals were being discovered and mined, you see the governmental organization of the land occurring. The county was set off in 1843. And what we mean is the boundaries were defined in 1843, but then it was officially organized and named in 1845, and at that time it also included Gogebic County to its southwest, which runs all the way down to the what our current state line is. That was later separated off.
So thinking of how Ontonagon County evolved through the 20th century, copper mines last, and then what happened?
Copper typically ran into 1850s, 1860s, petering out, and then, as is the case with a lot of these counties, the land was opened up for sale for people to homestead, either through the state or the federal government. Certain lands were offered from the state land office, certain lands were offered from the federal land office, and that was a way to generate revenue for both governments. That happened in Ontonagon. It's a pretty remote county, so you see people coming in, typically speculators, buying up big tracts of land.
Which leads us to talk about one of the very interesting stories that you've uncovered about Ontonagon County, in particular, a woman named Addie L. Lathrop. Tell us about this very interesting woman. I think we need a book or a mini series about her life.
Yeah, she's fascinating. And I have to give credit to one of our staff archivists, Leslie Edwards. In the course of her regular work, she came across this collection to process and get it ready to be available for the public. And it was the life story, you know, the papers and documents of this woman, Addie Lathrop. And the more she delved into it and prepped it for public access, she just became enthralled in her story because she's very, very unique. She's a turn of the 19th century woman doing things that weren't common in that time period, buying, you know, over 1,000 acres of land, clawing her way into jobs that were typically reserved for men. And she's just very, very unique.
Well, it's fascinating to realize that she married and then he ditched her. And so I'm just looking at this list: postmistress, train station agent, Western Express telegraph operator, independent land baroness. I mean, she did that all on her own, and she did die kind of young, didn't she?
She did. As you mentioned, her husband left her. He didn't completely leave her high and dry. He left her with the opportunity to finish off a homestead claim. You know, imagine yourself in Onondagan County in the late 1890s by yourself, a woman, just not the best position to be in, and that's a huge understatement. And she has the wherewithal to maintain that homestead claim. I think it was the first one was 160 acres. And then throughout her life, she just continues to have people, always men, seem to get in her way. Someone tried to file a claim to take that land away from her. She fought that and won. She fought to become the postmistress and all those other jobs that you said that, again, especially the telegraph operator, I think is one that is specifically was reserved for men. And later in the 19th century, that changed a little bit, but she was really a pioneer there. But she just kept scrapping and clawing, and she was ill at the same time. When her husband first left her, he needed money. So she took a job as a teacher in Mackinac County. So basically traversed all the way across the UP to make money so that she could go back and maintain that homestead claim. And then she really just built on it from there and amassed over 1,100 acres of land at the time of her death. But again, she died young. She was in her 40s and sort of had a sad end. She was ill. We don't know why, but she was just shoveling coal to heat her house and just fell face down and passed away.
Hmm. And finally, the Paulding. We can't let you go without talking about the Paulding lights. What was that?
Yeah, so this is quite a diversion from Addie Lathrop, but a more recent phenomenon in the same town where she was, Bruce Crossing. There's been the phenomenon of the Paulding light, and it's, I think, since maybe back to the 60s, it was viewed as this light you could see from a certain point that no one could explain, and it was, you know, people said it was a ghost or it was a UFO or swamp gas or whatever. And it really persisted for a long time as an urban legend until finally a group of Michigan Tech students said, okay, enough, we're going to go down and figure this out. And they set up cameras and did analysis and realized that it was just traffic at a very particular bend in the road a few miles off, and were able to debunk that myth. So the Paulding light, sorry folks, if you're a believer, just traffic.
The ins and outs of Onondagan County. And we want to thank again our state archivist with the Michigan History Center, Mark Harvey, continuing walking us through counties in Michigan. Mark, thanks so much.
Thank you.